Hey everybody, welcome back once again. Here we are live in Austin, Texas at Chef Conference 2016. I am Joe Breslin once again. I have kicked Seth out, but he'll be back shortly to wrap up the day. I'm very excited to be joined by Polly Comtois.
There you go.
From Hearst Corporation. Met Polly back at DevOps Day Seattle, had an excellent conversation with him, so I was very, very excited to see that he was here and with us today and willing to come and sit down with me. So, Polly, mind telling us a little bit about yourself, what brought you here, what you're doing?
Sure. So I worked with Hearst Business Media is where I work now, and I was with Chef back when it was called OpsCode. I was there for about 4 years as the VP of Operations. And I love the product and I love the community. I love what they're looking to do and how they sort of embrace the whole heterogeneous environment and treat everyone as a first-class citizen. I think that's fantastic and really sort of a guiding light around DevOps. I moved out of Chef about 2 years ago to join Hearst Business Media, and we are heavily focused, on myself and my team, on Agile and DevOps, CI, CD, and really looking at
all the good stuff.
Right, exactly. Really, I think of it as sort of continuous improvement. So CI.
I think that's really what DevOps is ultimately about.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just first kind of looking around at all the people here, how do you compare your days back in OpsCode those years ago to what you see today? Seem similar, different? What are some of the biggest?
So when I started, we had about 20 people, and so it was a very small company, very scrappy. It's amazing to see how much it's grown. And probably the thing that I love the most is that we haven't lost touch with the community. We haven't lost touch with the idea and concept of breaking down that barrier between an employee and a customer. And so we leave those communication lines open so that if you want to talk directly to an engineer in an open mm-hmm. Slack channel, you can.
Sure.
You can, of course, go through support to talk to somebody at Chef, but I love the idea of keeping it as one large community. It's not about having two communities and how do we get them to communicate. It's one community. That's that whole hug ops mentality.
And see, just as you're saying that, I think the way we know that it's most evident that this is so community-based is you said we,
yeah.
Even though you've been gone for a couple years. And so, like, I don't know, what is your day-to-day? Like, do you have a lot of interaction with this Chef community, with the Chef team still in your current role?
I do, and their office is about 4 blocks away from
okay.
my new office, and so I still see all of them. And whenever I go back to the office, I kind of jokingly think of it as a homecoming because it's a lot like my family.
Sure.
And it really is a family atmosphere. And so it's very easy to go back and see people and sort of pick up right where you left off and have these conversations about where Chef is going as a code base and as a product. And now as a customer, how I can really contribute back from the other side of the fence.
Absolutely, and just feeling so like engaged, and that's something that contributing back. So what are some of like the biggest like things that you took away from your time at OpsCode and have applied them throughout your career since then?
I would definitely say the community. You know, at Hearst Business Media, we have 10 business units, and I have a really steady focus on bringing those business units together under one large community. And the efforts and the tactics that were used to build the Chef community and to keep it going and to keep it very open and fruitful, I'm doing those same things and just trying to do it at a larger scale.
Sure.
And in the end, the problems and challenges that you face, they're people problems and challenges. And so they're actually quite easy to scale because in the end, we all have the same set of emotions in the workplace, right? And how do we manage that and how do we bring people together and how do we make it okay to have a differing opinion instead of having a dissenting opinion?
Sure. And so do you see a lot of similarities with your work at Hearst compared to at OpsCode?
Absolutely. Again, I think that the challenges around how do you create infrastructure that's ephemeral and push button, how do you do that on a Windows platform or on a Nix-based platform? In the end, all those challenges tend to repeat. There's a lot of overlap, and so the nice thing about having business units work together is that you don't have to stub your toe on the same piece of furniture twice, right? You can go in and someone can say, be careful here, here's a pitfall. Let's get together ad hoc and have a conversation as a broader community about this tool set and what did you think about it. And, so that's really powerful.
That's awesome. And so what does your progression sort of look like in the time that you've been with Hearst and sort of the Have you seen a big evolution, a big change in what you've been trying to do, and especially from that culture perspective?
In Hearst business?
In Hearst, yeah.
Absolutely. I think, the business units operate autonomously and they're incredibly efficient. And I think at a higher level, there was a lot of communication between the business units, so I think at a strategy level, but not so much at a tactical engineer level.
Sure.
And so we've been just focusing over the last year creating those methodologies, those processes, and more importantly, the mediums to be able to do that. And it's starting to seed conversations and get the ball rolling, right? So it's sort of like a flywheel. And then once it gets up and it's running, people really get involved. They get really emotionally attached to these relationships that they have with people that they've never seen before. And so I think the next evolutionary step for us is to do sort of an internal DevOps Days conference.
Nice.
Where we now bring everyone together face to face.
Can I come?
Absolutely.
That's excellent. So I guess from a specific, like, kind of practical level, like, what is something at Hearst where you've been like most proud of, like seeing the work, seeing the achievements, seeing the things that you've been able to work on and accomplish within this mindset?
I think the thing that we just started doing probably 6 months ago, which is doing these value stream mapping workshops.
Yeah.
It's a 3-day workshop where we go in and we're dedicated to that business unit for those 3 days. And it's a full life cycle of a process that they choose. And that has been incredibly powerful for us. Not only at sort of showcasing where the largest bottleneck is, which, you know, if you've read Goldratt's books, The Goal, it's incredibly important to be working on the largest bottleneck first. But at the same time, it gets people together that don't normally sit in a room together.
Yeah.
So there's a social aspect to that that really is a great icebreaker for us. It allows people to be in a room together and see the whole value stream from a high level, where they fit into it, where their value is, and then to build those relationships, because honestly, identifying the problem is just the first step, and it's the smaller one, really.
It's easy to identify a problem.
Yeah. Now, how do we fix it, right? And who's accountable for it? And in the end, it's not what individual is accountable for it, it's we are accountable for it. And the team comes up with an aligned solution in those 3 days. And it's been very powerful for us, and it's a great kickstarter for DevOps within an organization.
That's awesome. Is there anything that's surprised you as the teams have come together, maybe an idea that, it could be anyone, a technical person or someone from the sales team, anything that's like really surprised you and helped kind of send you in a different direction than you originally expected?
I would say that there's a large waterfall effect that's still occurring up the value stream between the product owners and managers and the developers. And when you take all that data out of the value stream and put it into a histogram, you start to see the long pole is at the beginning of the value stream, rather than at release management or at QA, right, which is where they typically were 5 years ago, right, when we were just really focusing on DevOps as a cultural movement. And so I think we need to start addressing, why is there such a large buildup at the beginning? And we're not even talking about backlog refinement here. We're actually talking about the handoff. And it's waterfall in that there's really no feedback loop back from the developers. In a lot of cases, developers aren't included in the meetings. And so we're just looking at how we can better collaborate between those two teams and get that level of empathy that we're now seeing between developers and operations.
Absolutely. And then, so I guess from that perspective, from this whole people working together thing, what would you say, both from, like, I guess, both the technical side as well as the business side, why should people care about value stream mapping? Why should they care about doing this? What value does it provide?
So I think that's great. The value stream mapping exercise in the workshop, it really focuses on two aspects, right? The business value and the technical value. So a lot of times you'll end up, I like to create these two lists, right? I go to the technical folks and say, okay, so the engineers, and say, give me a list of all of the tech debt that you have, mm-hmm. and order them in order of priority for you. Then I go to the business and say, all right, give me your business value list of the projects, and features and tech debt that you have in the business priority. And then you take those two and put them together and they almost never line up. Right? Because the engineer is looking at what can make my life better day to day, and the business owner is looking at what can make the customer's lives better day to day.
Sure.
And so one of the things that the value stream mapping does is it allows us to take a step back holistically as a larger group and say, okay, we're going to focus again, we're going to refocus on the customer, right? It's the customer that we're trying to service. And so how can we align the technical needs and the business needs such that we're able to actually do that, right? We're able to accomplish that on a consistent basis.
That's excellent. So what would you say to some, you know, technologists out there who's that DevOps is something that we want to do, I know it's important, but my management and then further up not listening, they don't really get it. Like, how do they go about kind of removing that hurdle? How do they go about like making people understand that there is tremendous value here and it is worthwhile to kind of get out of our day-to-day firefighting and just get in a room and talk and understand one another's business and out of the, this is my domain, this is what I do, I don't worry about that business side of stuff.
It's really hard. I think, you know, knowing your audience and trying to create an aligned goal from the beginning is incredibly important. So if you look at how we approach value stream mapping, it costs the business unit nothing from a capital perspective, but it does cost them something from an investment in OpEx. You're talking about a lot of high-paid individuals sitting in a room for 3 days, not working on anything
absolutely.
Else.
Time
so
is money.
That's a major investment from that organization. Now, obviously, I can go and show results from prior engagements and say, okay, you know, but then taking that and mapping it to the current organization and how it values them, that's a challenge, right? But I think if you know your audience and you go to sort of two different sales tactics. One is selling to the business is you're selling results, right? So you're going to the business leaders and saying, listen, we can reduce defects, right? And you try and quantify those results around how a value stream mapping as an example, or DevOps in general, can really drive a better, higher quality product to market faster. And then the technical staff, again, you're knowing your audience, so you're basically going in and say, listen, wouldn't it be wonderful if you didn't have batches and queues and waiting for all this stuff? Wouldn't it be wonderful if like it just had a natural flow through the system?
Not wake up at 3 a.m. to put out another fire.
Right, and it's automated and you're able to go and add true value rather than just going doing mundane tasks over and over that you're kind of like, oh, you know, this is doldrum. Why do I do this? And then I think once you get both of those two different aspects on board and that goal is aligned, in the end, again, the alignment is behind the customer. Even if the approach is slightly different.
Sure, it's a different word, same meaning.
It's different worlds, right? And so this is that dichotomy of language. You're trying to create a common language. Value stream mapping is an opportunity to have a common language so that people can all sit in a room together and communicate in ways they weren't able to before.
Absolutely. So right now, we value stream map, we understand it. Like, where does the company go from here? It's, you know, we have this stuff on the whiteboard. What's next? We jump straight into tools, right?
Yeah, I always pick tools last, right? You've seen my talks, so you know. But so day one is the current value stream. Day two is the future value stream, and that's approached in a sort of like, listen, if you could have anything, like money is no object, what would you do? Like, how would you do this? How would you want this? And then day three is really focused on the transformation plan, and I make sure we're a very heavy Microsoft shop, right? About 80% of our servers in production are all Microsoft, you know, .NET. And so I say, listen, use whatever tool you're comfortable with, right? If it's Microsoft Project or TFS or whatever it is that you want to use to track the transformation plan. But let's build the transformation plan together. And so we time box it. We put a budget around it. And we say, okay, the future state mapping is like pie in the sky. Wouldn't it be wonderful if robots did everything? Let's back that off to the time box that we have at hand and the resources that we have at hand, and let's figure out from that three basic things. So it's, there's Kaizen events. These are things that take about a week to do at dedicated 5 days.
Yeah, sure, sure.
There's things called JDIs, which are just do it. These are usually things that are like, well, maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. Okay, let's just don't do it, right? And so you just make the decision. And the last is the most unwieldy, and that's projects, right? And so those are things that require like lots of capital, outside resources. They're gonna take several weeks to do. And so those things, you know, we try to do as little of those as possible. And then the transformation plan is made up of those three in a prioritized list.
And also by the end of this, you've sort of tricked everyone into having one aligned business roadmap with technology and with business together.
Right, exactly.
I think one term that I hear thrown around a lot is, oh, we don't want to boil the ocean.
Right.
And what I say is, like, I do want to boil the ocean, but do so 1 degree at a time.
Exactly.
And I feel like this applies a lot here in terms of, hey, we have here is the current state, here's a future state, and here are the first things that we do. So have you seen actual real life kind of genuine success from that?
Oh, certainly. We have several business units that have done this now. One has completely transformed how they do code, how they write code, in a whole new product line based off of the transformation plan. We try to limit the scope of the value stream. It can very easily get unwieldy. In 3 days is actually not a lot of time. So we pick one. So usually I'm like, what is the gnarliest, hairiest, ugliest problem process that you have value stream wise? And let's tackle that one, right? That what is going to give you the most business value? And that's what we want to do. And then you can take that that transformation plan, which we've actually successfully deployed, and you can start running your own VSMs internally on smaller, easier to use VSMs, and then even break it down into process mapping if you want. So you can dig right down into individual processes and try and figure out how to create a lean approach to those as well.
That's excellent. So I think now we have the current day DevOps. We have IT, Dev, product team all working together happily. Look sort of to the future, the next step here. Like, where does DevOps go from here? How does you know, sales, finance, marketing, the rest of the functions, how does everybody come to the table and to the fun here?
I think that's the next big challenge for DevOps as sort of a cultural movement. We've done a great job of really getting velocity behind these sort of collaborative and iterative and very agile approaches to both software development and deploying. I think we've left behind the business, right? So finance is still approaching these sort of agile MVP projects as these monolithic year-long budget meetings, right? And that's tough. It's really tough. You have finance coming and saying, how much are you going to spend on this product? And you have the devs saying, we don't even know if this is the product we're going to build yet, right? We're going to build a small one. We're going to put it in front of some customers. We may pivot. We may do it in the cloud. We may do it on premises. We don't really know yet. And so getting the finance team involved in things like retrospectives, especially a little more high level, you don't have to get into the weeds, but the idea is to start sharing this methodology with them to help finance and product, marketing, right? One of the other issues we see is we talk about, oh, we're going to create this code and we're going to push this product out. And we're going to pivot halfway through. What a lot of times as developers don't necessarily understand is that there's a whole ecosystem that goes around a product release, right? So you have to train sales, you go to ChefConf, right? And have a booth and you're talking about the next big product. And that requires a lot of lead time to create the artifacts that you have to display. And so it isn't just about pushing software out, right? It's about including the rest of the business in that agile approach. So I think that's sort of the next evolutionary step for DevOps.
Yeah, and I guess just as we were standing by prior to this, like looking at the ChefConf newsroom that they have over there, where they said that interviews that they're doing right now will be available 1 hour from now, and just thinking about it, not from the, hey, we just do this technical thing over here and that's the end of it, but understanding that this technical thing, this marketing thing, this sales thing, this finance thing, it's all part of the same thing. Right. We're all here together. We're working on this together. And so I guess in your environment, have you had much success with that, with like the broader organizations coming together, or is this something that you're still kind of working through?
I think it's something we're still working through. We're definitely making progress at HBM, and I think it's really a testament to everyone's openness to trying new things and being involved. And frankly, Hearst Business Media's like forward-thinking, forward-leaning, innovative culture. And a lot of it is culture-based. Again, you're talking about people, and people get emotionally attached to the tools and processes and workflows that they use on a daily basis. And so changing that takes time. And so I think everyone understands that this is a journey, right? And we're just really getting started on it.
Yeah, and I think what you really hit on there is that it's just such an underlying, it's a fear thing. It's a thing that we've, since we were a fish however many billions of years ago,
right?
We still have that because that's what we use to survive. And we don't realize that we sort of apply that now to just our day-to-day business processes. And so people are fearful. So like, how do you get people through that? For people that I've always done it this way and no, leave me alone, I don't want to change. Like, how do you hold their hand and take them through this process and help them understand it's going to be okay?
It's baby steps, right? I mean, you start with some some small early victories, and you try and build on that as much as you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. I guess just from other perspective, like what have you seen in the industry? Like other people that are doing this very well, other people that, like kind of key opportunities people have to improve, like what's your kind of general advice that you would give to the audience here?
Well, I think definitely continue to go out into the communities, try and really learn from those communities, how they're being successful. Look at like the chef community. You don't even have to be a chef user to join the chef community and see how they're going about including the customer in the day-to-day activities of the business. And I think if you do that, and again, try really hard to align the business objectives with the technology objectives, I think that's the key.
Well, that's wonderful. And I think as the lights are kind of wrapping up here, that's a perfect timing to go ahead and take a break. We will be right back with Seth Juarez and Justin Arbuckle to close down the day. Once again, thank you everybody for watching. We are live in Austin, Texas from Chef Conference 2016.